I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick live from Vancouver in downtown Vancouver.
Oh my lord.
Wonderful.
Well, that was... Thank you. Thank you so much. We probably should have kept that going a little longer. The music went longer than I thought.
It's okay. But, we'll be back.
But man, are we not having the best night of our life right
oh
now?
Oh my God. Everybody at home, suck it.
Whoa.
I mean, what?
Thank you all so much for coming out tonight. Well, if you open a few, you got them. This really means a lot. This is really cool. This is our first time in Vancouver doing live shows, and we did one last night, and it sold out. And we were like, could we do a second one? And I had zero faith, and these guys did. And you all showed up and proved me very fucking wrong.
Story of our life. Every time we always do something, Jeremy's like, I don't know. Yeah. And Brian and I are like, fuck it, who cares?
And now we're feeling the love.
Yeah, that is actually it. So it means so much that you've shown up tonight, and we're really excited to get into a very interesting conversation. So before we get into it, let's give a nice... beautiful Vancouver warm welcome for our guest tonight, Shirley. Now, Shirley, I am excited about this conversation because every time we get together as a trio of young, immature boys, mm-hmm. and we get to speak to a... mature and educated woman about how a woman's body works, it always tickles me pink because I I don't know shit about the female anatomy, the female body, but I feel like we're going to be talking about something tonight that has much to do with the female body.
Let's do it.
Which is what?
Well, I'd like to crack open the conversation on perimenopause and menopause.
Menopause.
Whoa.
I don't know what that is. Well, that's what old ladies get, right?
Well, that's the stigma.
That's all I know. Is that not true?
We're here to break down the stigma.
Yeah, right.
We're here to break it down.
Is that stigma? Is that stigma that
There's
only old ladies get?
So many myths and misconceptions. This
Fuck
is going to
yeah.
be fun.
All right, perfect.
The only thing that I know about menopause, do you want to do like one fact that we each know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fact might have been a strong word there. But one thing that I think I know about menopause is that it just feels like you're walking around wearing a snowsuit all the time when it's like really warm.
Some women do feel a little hot. You're
okay.
right.
Okay. So I'm doing well.
Good job,
okay,
Ryan.
That's fact okay. number one. Okay. You stole my fact. it's baby making time is over.
Oh, that's so true. No more birth okay. control.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, good one.
You didn't steal any of my facts because does your vagina get really dry?
It might.
Hey, okay. Really? Actually, really?
Hey.
Well, okay. I don't know about yours might not, but mine might.
Right, okay.
Okay, so you said a word at the beginning of that. You said perimenopause?
That's right.
What is the difference between perimenopause and menopause?
So menopause is one day. It's the 12-month anniversary after you haven't had a period. So it's like a party. It's like a birthday or a celebration. You invent a cocktail and you mm-hmm. invite all your friends over and you celebrate.
And so menopause is one day.
Menopause is one day.
Okay.
Everything after that day is postmenopause, and then there's this phase of life leading up to menopause called perimenopause. And it's different for every woman, and it can last from 5 to 15 years. Some women sail through. Some women experience hormone fluctuations that can throw them a little off. And some women, 20% of women, actually really do suffer from those hormone fluctuations.
Mm. So would you say if I were to kind of like lay out phases of life from the time a woman's born, you got like you're born and then you're a child and then you have puberty at some point and then you're like, hey, like there's a period and like we can make babies and all that sort of thing. And then there's kind of like a gap between that and menopause or sorry, I guess postmenopause.
Well, I don't know if there's a gap.
Called perimenopause? Like is it a lead up thing?
Just draw a line here. So you're born with all the eggs that a woman is born with all the eggs she'll ever have.
And sorry to cut you off, but that's fucking wild.
That's all you get.
I only learned this summer from listening to another podcast called Radiolab. And when I heard that, my mind blew up. Like I could like that's so wild. You all the eggs that you will ever have are already in you as soon as you're a person.
That's correct.
And every month you're spilling some.
Every month after puberty. Spilling.
Yeah.
After puberty. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I think that's how they say it. I think that's how doctors explain it.
Spilling some.
Yeah. It's like, is that how the teacher says it in like grade 7? They're like, and every month you'll spill some eggs.
Is that what we can title this episode? Spilling your ovaries.
Spilling eggs? Well, that is a crazy fact because as a guy, you can just go around kind of like throwing your stuff everywhere and then it just kind of like comes back.
And make more when you want to.
No pun intended on the coming back. Yeah.
And you can't actually go around just doing it wherever, willy-nilly.
Well, I mean...
You absolutely cannot.
It depends. Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends.
No, there is
watching.
No depend. No. You just can't. Yeah.
You okay, can get
so,
charged
so,
for that.
So, sorry, I cut you off. You're born, you have all the eggs you'll ever have.
You reach puberty, you go into your reproductive stage of life, and what happens now with many of us, because we're not having our first or, you know, are having our families till our mid-30s, late-30s, sometimes early-40s, that reproductive phase can cross over into perimenopause. So I probably started perimenopause around 39. That's when I first started noticing changes. But of course, I immediately thought I was pregnant and went and got that check because I didn't know anything about perimenopause at the time. And I was 39 and then I was 49 by the time I reached menopause.
So is perimenopause just like the pre-show? Like
it's the pre-show. Peri means around. So it means around the time of menopause.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not. It isn't. It's giving. It's like it's warning signs.
It's like preparing you for.
It's literally getting you ready for it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. Okay. And does everybody go through perimenopause, or is that like a?
Everybody goes through perimenopause, but not everyone suffers, and that's the myth and misconception that we need to. Change the conversation.
So what's your experience? And so you said that you like kind of, you thought that you might be pregnant.
Yeah.
So what was your experience like in figuring out what was actually going on? Did you go to the doctor at that point?
Well, my boobs hurt.
Okay.
So I went and got a pregnancy test.
And nobody like hit you there?
My husband had a vasectomy. So okay. I was kind of curious as to how I might have gotten
You're
pregnant.
You're like, oh no, did the vasectomy not take?
Yeah. And then...
Surprise.
Second coming of Christ could have been that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have been.
Yeah, immaculate conception.
I don't know.
And every woman's experience is different. So you kind of, you go through this, you think that, and then it went away for a couple of years and then came back at 41. But it came back with sleep deprivation, anxiety, depression, my boobs hurt again, you know.
So hold on. So you stop having your period and then it's happening or sorry?
No, you're still having your period and it sometimes really sucks because it's not regular and it's heavier and yeah.
Can you tell how hard it is for us to download this information? I'm like, wait, okay, period? When?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around perimenopause because again, like the whatever we've been led to believe menopause is,
right.
Because in my experience, or lack thereof, it's menopause is what happens when you just stop having your period, and then all sorts of crazy stuff happens, and women make funny jokes about it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we're all led to believe that it's like a light switch, like it just stops, and then you go on into the second half of your life. But perimenopause is a phase where you're preparing for that, and lots of experiences happen, and some of them are great. Some of them are like, oh, I think I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I think I want to get a new career. There's really positive things that can happen for women in midlife, and then there's some other things that are not as pleasant.
Such as?
Like anxiety, depression, mood swings, changes in your period.
And is that just a whole, like, hormonal change
a result of hormone fluctuation.
Okay.
And stress. Right? Stress plays a big role. How you eat, move, sleep, and manage stress is also going to influence your hormones, right?
So coming back to your experience, you start to notice this change. Sorry, again, what age were you when you started to notice the
39
difference?
39, and then again at 41.
Okay. And what do we know, like, do we as in the doctors that aren't us, do we know when on average people start to go through perimenopause?
Yeah, so the average age of menopause is 51.2 for North American women.
That's like the same age as cystic fibrosis patients living today.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my menopause.
It's actually a menostop.
Yeah, it's a menostop right there.
Your heart stops. Funny joke.
It was, yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I'm part of the club. So that's menopause.
That's right. So perimenopause is 5 to 15 years leading up to that date.
Okay, so that's quite a...
But interestingly enough, like 100 years ago, or the beginning of the last century, women only lived to be 50, so menopause wasn't even an event.
Right.
Right? Like you had your kids when you were young, and then you died.
So...
And way too many kids, too. Like, you guys are pumping them out, like...
And we're the first generation.
Going out of style.
We're the first generation to live to be 50 and still have another 50 years to plan for.
Yeah, right.
So it's new. It's a new phenomenon. It's new that we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's new that we're trying to change the conversation on it. And then perimenopause, the term was only invented in 1996.
Holy shit.
Whoa. Yeah. So it's new, and you might be going to see a healthcare professional that was educated even before that.
Yeah,
not that it's a health topic. It's not a disease or an ailment, but it's...
Well, it's been 22 years, and I'm just learning about it today.
There you go. Yeah.
So, is there just a shitload of women that don't have any idea that this is a period where they're leading to menopause, and they're not sure why all these maybe things are happening, like anxiety or depression or whatever, mood swings and stuff like that? They just don't know. They're still having you're still having your period during this time. So the conclusion probably isn't, oh, I'm going through menopause.
No, the conclusion is usually, I must be crazy. I must have mental health issues. My marriage is going to split up if I don't address what's going on here. I mean, all sorts of things typically can happen before a woman might realize, oh, this is perimenopause and this is a phase that I'm going through. Mm.
So you start to feel pain in your breasts and you're thinking, second coming of Christ. So you go to get checked. It turns out Christ isn't in you.
Right.
And then what do you do after that when you make that realization?
I forget the exact age I was, but I did find my way to my doctor's office. I thought, I love my doctor. She delivered both my kids. I thought this is going to be an amazing experience because she's 10 years older than I am. And I'm going to say menopause, and she's just going to like make me feel great because she has all the information and I don't. And I was 41. That's right. And she looked at my chart, and then she looked at me and she said, oh, you're 41. You're too young. So you can use sleeping pills, you can go on Prozac, or you can go back on birth control pills.
So she thought, she was like, you're just going crazy. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she said that or not.
Right. But like she thought...
In her toolkit, she had certain things to offer me, and they weren't anything that I expected, right? I was kind of hoping for this mother-daughter-like conversation that doesn't, in hindsight, doesn't happen when you have 7 minutes in your doctor's office.
Right. But at that point, you had a feeling that it was perimenopause?
I did.
Why? Because, like, you know, we're talking about how it's not a part of the everyday discussion.
That's right.
So what was it that drew you to that conclusion of like, oh, I think I figured it out?
I have the good fortune of having a sister who's 10 years older than I am. She had cancer when she was a child. And as a result, we think she reached menopause at age 36. And so our conclusion about her experience was that the radiation treatment she had as a child killed some, not all, of her eggs. Therefore, she was in menopause early.
Whoa. So, wait, I'm just learning. What? So that's when menopause happens, when you spill all your eggs?
Yeah. You're done.
Oh, I fucking missed that part.
It's like...
Yeah, me too.
They're closing down for business.
Wow.
Yeah. We're just like, sorry, sold out.
Yeah, sold out.
Boarded up.
And we cannot restock.
Yeah, right.
I told you, it's really great birth control.
Yeah, no shit. Okay, so wait then. If someone goes through... I should know this by now because we've been doing the show for 3 gosh darn years.
Yeah, and, gosh darn it.
Frig jingin'. And we've talked to enough people who've like had, debulking. Maybe I'm just...
I don't remember that.
I mix up dreams in real life a lot, so maybe I'm making this up. But we've talked to people who have, like, had surgery to remove their
parts.
Their parts. I'm trying to think. What's, like, what... Sorry? Not lipo. Hysterectomy. Yeah.
Hey, uterus. Remove your uterus.
And your ovaries? Yeah, please. Just help me out. This is going to happen a lot.
He's dying up here, folks.
This is going to happen a lot tonight. So hysterectomy, right? Because that removes all of your ovaries and your...
Uterus.
You can have a partial hysterectomy, which is your uterus removed. Mm-hmm. That doesn't put you in menopause because you still have your ovaries.
Right, okay.
So there's still eggs there. It might speed up your timeline.
But if you have
a full hysterectomy and they take the ovaries too, then you are in surgical, like immediate menopause that very day.
So now, wait, is perimenopause like the low fuel light coming on?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Totally. Yeah, we covered that.
Car analogy.
Yes.
Car analogy.
I completely get it now.
Right? Okay. Sweet.
Car analogy.
Finally, a metaphor that I can wrap my
head. What's really funny is we were in the fucking green room, like, before we came out here, and I was like, Cheryl, you know, it's going to be really funny because, like, we're idiots. And one of you two were like, speak for yourself. Look at it. We're like 25 minutes into this recording. We're like, oh, the gaslight came on? I get it.
I drive a car.
Yeah. Oh, the broom broom. Okay, yeah, so... Jesus. Okay, so, but I want to come back to this, and maybe you don't know, but maybe you do, with the hysterectomy, if it was a full hysterectomy and you go from... you know, living a normal feeling life with the way that your body is working with all of your reproductive organs like intact, and then having it removed and going right into that like surgically forced menopause.
Yes.
Is that an easier transition?
That is not easy transition.
That's
at
like,
all.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a shock to your system, a shock to your hormonal system. And unfortunately, too often, I hear from women in my community who have been put into surgical menopause and they don't have that support on the other side. Because they're working with really skilled surgeons who do an amazing job at the operation, but they don't have the support on the other end, and it just... and it wreaks havoc if they don't have that support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like, I'm curious about the you know, if you're with somebody, like the fact that this can be such a changing time for your moods and how you feel, and like it can bring on anxiety and depression and things like that. How wild it is that it seems like that there's not as much education as there should be to prepare a couple to know how to deal with that.
It's
and go,
crazy.
Hey, this like shit's gonna change.
Yeah.
And I feel like it, In your experience with what kind of working and speaking in this field, you must come across like a lot of torn up relationships.
Absolutely. And I mean, where are men, like women are unprepared and uninformed because there is really no great place to go to get this information. Mm-hmm. And as a society, you know, we've focused so much on getting our kids prepared for sex education and we talk about it in schools and we buy them books and go to the library and all of that. So we would never want our kids to land in puberty with a surprise, right? So some of the changes that are happening. And then what do? We go and do that to ourselves in midlife. Mm-hmm. And there are women waking up in their mid-40s, late-40s, and they don't know what's wrong with them, but they know that their quality of life is suffering, their relationships might be suffering. And then there's, you know, the men or the partners who love the women that are, like, so lost. Like, they want to be supportive, but they are, like, you know, down on the rung of the ladder in terms of being informed and educated.
I'm really curious because I have literally never heard of perimenopause in my life. And I'm
God, Brian, okay,
couldn't tell.
How many women here tonight know what knew prior to this what perimenopause was?
Round of applause.
Okay.
All right. Here's the better question. How many didn't?
Okay.
That sounds 50-50.
Yeah. How many men heard of it before tonight? Dude, Steve.
Good job, Craig.
Craig, you've heard everything.
You're the man.
How many men are here tonight? Clap.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Craig, you're insane. In the upper echelon, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Isn't it insane? Because it's kind of like, as far as like phases of life go, it's basically like the same as, it's part of a phase of life in the same way that like having your period is for the first time. But like people don't know that that's part of the phase. Like, isn't that fucking insane?
And it happens to 100% of women and nobody knows.
Except the ones who
die
before.
Period. Yeah. No one escapes it. Everyone's bound to get it.
That was so dark.
Well, if you live to be 55, you are going to go through perimenopause and menopause.
Right. Yeah. Like, there's no one's like, I'm 70 and I never had it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you would ask that because, first of all, marketers and media actually sometimes want to trick us. They want to make us believe, oh, here's the magic wand. Here, take this and it'll, you know, solve all
Isn't
of
that
your...
a dildo? Hold on. That's a sex toy.
That's a brand.
Oh, my bad.
Use it or lose it.
Amen.
Yeah, but I have had women say to me, oh, you know, my mom told me she didn't go through menopause. No, what you mean is that she didn't suffer through menopause.
Right.
Big difference.
Right.
Okay,
big
so,
difference.
So then, perfect. Let's transition them back to your experience. You go into the doctor, and she basically is like, you're probably depressed, you're probably anxious, take some meds, go, you know, take care of it at home. What was that process of going from that moment to figuring it out, you know, like figuring out, because you had this notion.
I did have the notion, but you know, when she started talking to me, I think there was like this big thought bubble that went above my head that went, oh, this is all in your head. You're making this up.
Whoa.
And then I thought, you know, I've got to suck this up. I got to suck this up because I got a business to run. I've got little kids to look after. I've got a life to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know what? I can't be the only one. Like, women deserve a place to go to. And I had already been on Dr. Google at 3 a.m. trying to figure out the answers to my questions, and I couldn't find anything that was relevant. So I decided to create a community, an online community for women.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did you ever have someone kind of lay it out for you? Or did you kind of put
that together
yourself?
I did a bit later on because I chose, you know, I started to build my health team and I chose to work with a naturopath. And then, of course, you know, I had launched this online community called Menopause Chicks. And so that led me to a lot of experts who were so kind and generous to explain to me what it is that they want women to know about perimenopause and transitioning through midlife.
Well, let's talk about Menopause Chicks.
Sure.
Yeah. What is it? How does it work?
So Menopause Chicks was started 6 years ago as a blog off the side of my desk. I thought naively if I could crack open the conversation and just get more women to talk about it, that would be the magic wand. It turns out that we need more than just to talk about it. We needed to reframe the conversation because lots of women would put a big hand in my face and say, oh, I'm not there yet. I don't want to learn about that. That's not me. You know, a lot of pushback.
And so, but it's so, like, yeah, that's yeah. really funny.
Born of fear, like, just
fear.
Didn't want to go there too soon.
You know what? If you Google an image for perimenopause or menopause, you are going to see a gray-haired lady holding a fan, or you're going to see a woman, nothing against gray hair, but or you're going to see a woman holding her head in her hand with her husband in the background, her partner,
being like,
saying she doesn't want to have sex anymore. Yeah. And those are the two images.
Here's the weirdest one. When you actually put it in, what comes up is this lady cutting onions. What the fuck is what? That? I have no idea. It's like maybe it's gonna make it, like, that makes you cry, and perimenopause makes you cry.
Yeah, I mean, our society has only talked about it in negative terms, and so I realized that we need to reframe it away from all the negativity, because we can figure out how to solve whatever experiences we're having. We can, you know, we're smart, savvy women. Yeah. We can figure that out. But we haven't figured out is how to celebrate it and to embrace the wisdom and the beauty and all the good things that come.
If you were just to base it off the images, you would just think that perimenopause is another word for headache. Because everyone is going, oh.
Well, I went into the bookstore because I was bound to get informed, and I was determined that I wasn't going to let the young lad show me around the store, and I walked around. I couldn't find any books on menopause until I got to the sign, and it read ailments and disorders.
And
below it were the books on menopause. So I tweeted the bookstore, and they had that sign changed, and that was 6 years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What did they change the sign to?
Women's health.
Okay.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or, why not? Yeah,
the inevitable.
Because that would be like, say,
books
like,
on death and menopause.
Yeah,
that's
taxes.
It.
Yeah, the inevitable.
I basically, that's what I use Twitter for too, though. Like, 90% of the time, my tweets are complaints to businesses because I just want, like, you know, something for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Air Canada had a really great flight when you totally screwed me over there. Bye. Your menopause chick sounds a lot like, I mean, it sounded when you were going through it and talking about, like, creating a positive voice and bringing it out of the kind of the negativity. I mean, it just feels like it's this parallel with what we've kind of ended up or fallen into doing.
Which is why we're suing you.
With the podcast. Yeah, and we brought you here tonight.
We actually brought our lawyer tonight. Come on up.
You've been served.
I actually tweeted about you like 10 times.
Yeah. But it is incredible how you said, like, you know, when you start to talk about something, it kind of brings it out of this darkness that it's in, and you can start to create a community, and the community wants to reinforce these messages of positivity. And, like, we found the same thing with illness, that it doesn't have to be this really, like, heavy, you know, cloud hanging over a topic, that we can have fun with it, and we can make it something that's accessible.
Absolutely.
And and that, like, just sounded so much like exactly what we're trying to do, which I love.
Yeah, and, you know, we find you have to meet women where they are, right? So you might not want to talk about wisdom when you're barely sleeping through the night and haven't for months and months, or you're bleeding so heavily that you can't go exercise or drive your kids to school. I mean, those things need to be addressed first, but though they're solvable, and then we can start, you know, keeping the women in the community and having positive conversations. Like,
why do you bleed so much? Like, is it just like, well, sorry, God.
It's not a choice.
What's really funny about the live shows is, like, I'll ask a question and you'll hear someone in the audience be like, ugh. And it's so harsh. We're in the studio. It's like, I can ask whatever I want. There's no repercussions. But I really do mean that question. Like, I mean, what's happening for you? Is it because you're just going, well, I'm going to spill all the eggs, like, or like what changes to make you go from I'm used to this, like, flow that is what I've been having mainly for my entire life, having my period.
Yes.
Versus going into perimenopause or menopause, and it's like all of a sudden jacked up. Like, what's the
so
process?
It's different for everyone. Not every woman experiences that, but when the hormones fluctuate, then the ratios get thrown out of balance. Almost like when you get pregnant, your ratio of hormones gets thrown out of balance, yeah. right? And so it changes. It might change your ovulation. It might change your the heaviness of your flow. It might change the regularity or the irregularity. We actually use a phrase that says, you know, the only thing about perimenopause, if you're curious about when you're going to get your period, is just go on vacation. Because then, you know, you'll get it.
Oh,
okay. There yeah. you go. Yeah, I like it.
What was it? You mentioned sort of early on, somewhere in the first, like, 20 minutes or so, something about where your, I think maybe it was your doctor that said, like, oh, you could, an option would be to go back on birth control. Mm-hmm. And is that for hormone control? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know, you're experiencing all these things. It sounds like your hormones are out of whack. Well, it's not menopause because you're too young, so just go back on birth control and that'll figure it out.
That is one solution that sometimes doctors were offered to their parent, to their patients, mm-hmm. sorry. Birth control pill is a form of hormone therapy, but it's not customized to the woman. It's basically going to either, you know, get rid of her period or make her more regular.
Right, it's like a generic.
Yeah, like, it's like putting, you know, if the engine light comes on in your car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. Yo, what? Yeah.
It's like putting a piece of duct tape over top of the light.
I've done it many times.
Works every time.
Yeah.
Works like a charm.
Yeah.
And what we want you to do is to lift the hood and kind of look for the root cause.
Yeah.
But the dealerships are so expensive.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You've talked a little bit, and Jer mentioned, like, all the pitchers are just people with headaches. And
right.
We've kind of touched on the fact that there's a number of different things that happen. So I'm interested to know, like, what are some of the strangest things that happened to you that you didn't expect?
Ooh. Okay. Well, the strangest thing that I didn't expect was rage. And I raged with my kids, primarily my son. Because you always take it out on the person you love the most, right? And then I would have to go to the bathtub and rock back and forth until I got over it. And he got over it much quicker than I did, as you can probably mm-hmm. imagine. But I was not expecting that. It was like the two-headed monster would just come up and you least expect it.
Were you, like, how quickly, because you talk about, like, that now from, like, this more, I guess, rational perspective.
Yeah.
But how quickly after, like, a moment like that would you kind of realize, like, oh, fuck, like, that was
oh, in
totally
the
out
moment,
of character.
In the moment.
Yeah, but you couldn't,
but
like,
I couldn't stop it.
Right.
Yeah. That's, yeah, it was an awful, awful period of my life. The good news is, and I don't recommend this to everyone, but once I started a website on menopause, my rage went away.
Because
I had kind of come out of the closet. Mm.
But was it the sense that you're like you were suppressing it so much that like it would just kind of spill out at the?
You know what, midlife.
I don't mean to say spill again, but you're spilling everything all the
spilling.
Time. But it was it something that like because you didn't have an outlet that it was just kind of like exploding or blowing up every once in a while.
You know, at one point I might write this story that's called What If It Wasn't Perimenopause After All? Like I have kind of pointed my experiences towards that. I might have been like desperately sleep deprived and stressed and burnt out. And midlife women are holding up the world right now, you know, in terms of what they're carrying. And I was probably at that breaking point when I was experiencing rage with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other things that stick out that you weren't expecting?
Well, I was always a fairly good sleeper, and I still am in terms of falling asleep, but I wake up every day at 3 a.m. still pretty much.
That's not perimenopause. That means your house is haunted. That is the witching hour, and I've seen enough movies to know that you need an exorcism.
There you go.
3 a.m.? That's a telltale sign.
Succubus.
Yeah, that's a succubus if I've ever heard one. that's got to suck. I mean, like, I'm such a sound sleeper, so that would be a huge
problem. Rub it in.
But why three? Why three? Like, that's so bizarre.
So I'm not a health professional, but it has something to do with your cortisol levels.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're spiking at the wrong time if you're not taking care of your...
And now I'm gonna last night our guest, we were talking about stop asking me the first date questions and let's skip to the fifth date questions. So I'm gonna do that right now.
Okay.
You get, what did you say that you thought about?
You get really warm.
Yeah, you get warm, and then you said
no more babies.
No more babies. And then I was like, dry vagina. And then you were like, yeah, kind of. What's that?
Lack of estrogen causes vaginal dryness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so vaginal dryness is most often experienced by women in postmenopause. So when you're in perimenopause, you're still producing estrogen and progesterone and hopefully you have a juicy vagina.
Vagina.
That is the first time someone said that on our podcast.
That's the first time someone, like, almost the age of my mom said that to me. And I kind of liked it.
Oops.
Sorry.
Speaking of, we all know what we're talking about here.
Wait, I'm not done with this. Hold on. We're talking about juicy vaginas.
Yeah,
here.
Brian's going to say
okay. Okay.
I was going to ask about using your juicy vagina. Like, do you, like, what
it's
is...
It's recommended, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I hope so, yeah. But is there, like, this decrease in sex drive, and how do you manage that?
There is a decrease in sex. Women will talk about either a fluctuating libido or low libido or no libido, that they'd rather mop the floor than have sex. Mm.
Okay.
I was there.
Is that because of the mop? Or?
She's too busy with the juicy vagina. She's like, I can't have sex. I gotta mop this fucking floor. It's like juicing all over the place. We've got people coming over tonight. What do you mean? What do you want me to do? Can't leave the floors like this.
What was the question?
I don't even know.
That just went to a wonderful place. A wonderful place.
What was the question? I don't really know.
I was wondering about like
sex drive.
Like continuing the intimacy in a relationship when you're when you're turning into the desert.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. Actually, Brian, before you do that, you're 51 now.
I am 51.
Are you in menopause now or?
Well, I celebrated menopause when I was 49, and then I'm post-menopause.
Okay, rock on. So now, are you experiencing that? That dryness, like, is that a thing?
I am not for two reasons. Okay. One, I take bioidentical hormones, which I assume are helping me transition. And I also heard about a strategy called use it or lose it. So when I turned 50, I adopted that. And
that's just like a keep it going. And
yeah.
You're
yeah.
Okay. So
there's lots of sex after menopause.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Sweet. Fucking sweet. Do you and your partner, because like your partner, how old's your partner?
He's 52.
Okay. So I know that libido, like waves in libido is not just a one-way street. It's
right.
Both sides can experience that.
Yep.
And if you're doing this, like if you're on this use it or lose it sort of method, are you like, do you guys actively go like, yo, we haven't had sex this week. We need to up our game here because I don't want to.
We're not really schedulers.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
Can you guys? Can we
you're
just
more
take
like
a
throw it like just Everything off the table.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate the fact that, like, we're talking to somebody who's like kind of around the same age as our moms about, like,
the frequency. I can't wait to go home and talk to my mom about this.
Yeah. I know, it's so. But
I feel like we've all
gone,
like, level up mature tonight.
Well, it's like, there's, again, I mean, it comes and goes, but.
There was a couple points where we leveled down, and now we're leveling up.
I don't know about leveling up.
I think this is really fascinating, and, like, I just want to say, I know we'll probably say this more at the end, but, like, I'm really, it's just really nice that you're up here, like, so candidly talking about this, because, like, this is more of a conversation that would be really easy to have, like, the four of us in a room just talking about it together, but, like, we're sitting in front of a group of people.
Oh, right, the microphone.
Yeah, and then all those people who will hear after, too, but the people who missed out tonight. And
it's like 100 people. Yeah. No one listens
to the show. It's basically all here.
They're here.
I just want to say, like number one, thank you for doing this. Like,
thank you.
It's really awesome.
It really is one of the, just to piggyback on that, it really is, like, one of the conversations. It's almost on another level of one of the conversations that I might never have without doing this.
Yep.
And then hopefully then having this conversation will make it a little bit more accessible to, like, the general public, or asking those questions or receiving education, or maybe more likely to get education. And again, it is these things that, like, you know, three young guys that are like, well, I don't know anything about anything to do with women and their reproductive stuff. And then you have these conversations, and it's like everything is really, really fresh and really, like, eye opening. Like, when we have conversations about a number of other stuff, it's kind of like, okay, well, yeah, I've kind of heard of that. Like, tell me about that. You know, I've heard something here, something there. This is like, tell me everything. I'm literally just soaking it all up, because I know nothing. That was not a joke.
Soaking it all up.
Anything to do with juicy vaginas.
Well, you said something earlier that I've never heard of. Bioidentical
hormones?
Yes. What's that?
So hormone therapy is when you supplement the hormones that your body is no longer making, and you try to put yourself back into balance. And so there's a number of different options available for women. Bioidentical hormones just happen to be compounded at a compounding pharmacy, and that is the path that I chose because I work with a naturopath.
What's a compounding? Compound? A who?
Compounding pharmacy is like a bake shop. It's like they have a recipe that's given to them from the physician, and they make it especially for you.
For you. So especially they're trying to replicate, like, what you were producing naturally.
Yeah. I mean, the term compounding actually gets talked about a lot in bioidentical hormones, but it actually just means how they make the product. So if you were prescribed a pill and you couldn't swallow that, then a pharmacist can compound that into a liquid or a gummy bear. Like, it's just the way that they're made.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned a naturopath a couple times now.
Yes.
What are some of the things that the naturopath has provided you with that you've found to be, like, really beneficial?
That's a great question. One of them is that I don't know if you've ever visited a naturopath, but the first appointment is 60 minutes long. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like that when we go to visit our GPs. And I love my GP, but there are certain things that I go to my GP for, and there are certain things that I go to my naturopath for. Mm-hmm. And I encourage women to build a midlife health team, right? And that team can include, you know, your yoga, and it can include your pharmacist and your naturopath, and it can include energy healer, it can include life coach. I mean, you really don't want to, if you're building a house, you wouldn't just hire a plumber, right? You'd have a whole team. So if you're navigating midlife, you need to have that whole team working on your behalf, where you are the leader of that team.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting that. Yeah. We really work well with metaphors.
You like the house,
nails, hammers, and stuff. Like, it is, you know, we hit on that pretty frequently. Actually, we went in depth into this a couple days ago with somebody that we recorded with, and talked about the importance of how well, like, natural medicine and Western medicine, if you want to call it, kind of coincide or work together and in conjunction with each other, and that no two sides can really give you the full package of what you're looking for, or what can it be helpful for you. And it can be really beneficial to explore both sides, and maybe just a little bit too much, like, staunch what's the word I'm looking for? Like, like getting your back up against one or the other. Like it's easy to take sides on that, on the side of that debate of like natural versus
I think the most encouraging thing is that the side, there are no more sides. It's about the, you know, it's about the person that needs to manage their health. And there's a lot more integrated case studies and examples now than ever before. And naturopaths talking to doctors and vice versa. So it's really exciting, I think.
So what were the changes that you, so, I mean, you up until, would you say 39 was like perimenopause, like when you first kind of...
When I first started, yeah.
When you first started. So you kind of transitioned into that, and then about 49, you have your party.
Yes.
And you have a big celebration.
I invented a cocktail.
Yeah. Did you actually have a party?
I had an online party and Biff Naked joined me.
Oh, so, sweet.
Get the fuck out of here. We just did an episode with Biff.
Yeah, she's
so
fucking
we just
awesome.
Chatted about the benefits of menopause.
Is Beth in? Did she go through menopause?
She did because of her cancer treatment.
Oh, right. Fuck yeah, right, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We didn't even touch on that.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, she's fucking great.
But so I did.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah.
So you have your party. Yes. Biff's there. It's fantastic. You make a cocktail. What's in it?
Vodka.
Okay.
Yeah. And one bottle of vodka.
It's called the Russian.
Yeah. That's what's in this.
Little cranberry juice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then what are the differences that you experience from being in perimenopause to then transitioning into having menopause and then postmenopause? Man, I'm nailing it.
You are like, nailing it.
Ooh. Feeling it, yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that question. I'd love to ask some of the women in my community because I talk about menopause every single day, right? So, but for me, it was about admitting for the very first time and saying words like, I'm the smartest I've ever been. I'm wise. I'm beautiful. I'm taking inventory of my life and what I want. I'm doing what I want. I love the work that I'm doing. Gosh, I love the relationship that I have with my kids now. Like it was about celebrating. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest difference for me.
Okay, sweet.
You felt like it was like that much. Was it that much of an emotional switch that happened during that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was really positive.
It's just like was it the hormones?
I can't promise that to everybody, right. But yeah. I think it's a mindset too, right?
Okay.
Right.
Well, it seems like there's like a pretty broad spectrum of how that can affect people. Like you kind of alluded to, like, you know, some people, everybody goes through menopause, not everybody suffers from it.
Yep, that's true.
So you started Menopause Chicks.
Yes.
But then, in addition to that, you've also just written a book.
I did.
What's the book called?
The book's called Mokita.
And what is the premise of that book?
So the premise is how to navigate perimenopause with confidence and ease. Do you know what a Mokita is?
No.
So a Mokita is a word from Papua New Guinea that means the truth we all know but choose not to speak of.
I don't think either of us would have guessed that.
Yeah. I was like, based on everything that we have not known tonight.
It's like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, there's lots of Mokitas. I happen to talk about menopause, but it could be money or marriage or mental health or, I mean, I'm sure all of the topics that you discuss regularly.
Yeah, the tough conversations.
The tough conversations. Yep.
And were you a writer before you wrote the book, or was this just something that you were so passionate about that you started writing about it?
It's actually a symptom of menopause. Your writing skills go through the roof.
Writing. Oh, fuck, sweet. Never mind.
Were you just about to be like, I want to go through menopause?
No, I wasn't.
Do you want to write a book?
Yeah. I think that you were. Yeah. I think that is what you were thinking.
Nah, I wasn't going to say that.
I've known you for
that's
18
what,
years,
that's
Brian.
What you were going to say?
That's what you were going to say.
I don't think so. I also stopped from whatever I was going to say. I stopped, and I'm really proud of myself. So. Anyway.
You know, when I went to that bookstore and saw, first of all, I saw the sign that said ailments and disorders, but secondly, there were so few books on that shelf. Like, we're really not informing women. I just want to reach as many women as possible and let them know that, you know, empower them to get informed and that, you know, it's not a synonym for suffering. Mm-hmm. We can do this thing, right? But it's okay to ask for help, too.
Like, we do this all the time. We talk to people about everything that goes on with their body and with their health, and we don't know about it. So, like, what is, how does that speak to like the broader public? I mean, if you got people that are talking in that space all the time, and we're going, we know nothing about this, then, you know, I think that's probably going to be indicative of the broader population.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe. And I feel like this just makes this so much easier for us to then go and then have this conversation, repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and have a more open dialogue about it.
My vision will be realized if my daughter and her friends grow up and they kind of go, what, that was even an issue?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, we just want them to be, we want it, all the stigma to be eradicated.
Yeah.
Well, that will probably happen with your daughter because she's your daughter.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you didn't do a very good job.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Wow. Quite the standard to set.
So, but the book's been pretty well received. Like, when did it come out?
It came out last Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No shit.
That's sweet.
Now you can plug the shit out of it. Where do you get the book?
The book came out on Amazon last Wednesday in Canada. It hit number one in 6 categories, including
what
women's
the fuck?
Health.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Look out, Oprah.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal, but for me, all it says is that there's really not a lot of competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? There
Which
is not
like
a lot
awesome,
of competition.
But also not that awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's how I felt when the podcast came out. I was like, no one's doing this? That sucks, but fucking
good
sweet.
Good for
but
you.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet. We got it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Really exciting. And
Thank
so
you.
People, if there, you know, there's a lot of women in the audience tonight who
right.
I'm sure... would probably want to like read that or get their hands on that at some point. So it's you can get it through Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Yep.
Or you I just got contact- Amazon Prime and I'm fucking
Ooh,
stoked.
Yeah,
it's great. I
just
can literally
buying so
I can
much
literally
stuff.
Buy the book right now by doing that, and now it's on my way to my house. There we go.
A drone's gonna just drop it through your window.
It's gonna come here. It's gonna drop it off here. Yeah.
I think there's also. Did you say though? There's a lot of like women who would want to get their hands on that because like it's also. Really important
Probably, yeah.
for men. Like,
yeah.
what has the response been like from men?
So I get a couple of responses from men. One is requesting that we gather them like we are here with like maybe a keg of beer and
yeah.
some information. Mm-hmm.
And a couple cars.
You so know. You can like point to things and go, yeah, it's like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
See the light? Yeah. It's on. That you, means this.
You can use my low fuel reference
okay.
if you want.
Oh, can I borrow that
yeah,
one?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
hasn't trademarked it yet.
Yeah.
And I get asked if I'm going to write a book for men as long as I make it a small one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Big letters. Very large text.
So, I actually do like those books a lot.
Like picture books with large text?
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. We were talking about a lot of the physical stuff and I have some of the stuff up here. You know, we hit the emotional side of things. We hit the... vaginal side of things. We hit the things like, you know, sleep cycle and hot flashes and stuff.
Yep.
There's something that I didn't realize, and maybe you can speak to, but there's like urinary symptoms. What's that all about?
So when estrogen goes for a dive, some women do experience incontinence.
So that means like
that
peeing
means peeing
your pants,
in your pants when
oh, wow.
you laugh or sneeze or cough. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
Sure.
There's lots of things that women can do to prevent that, to address that. We live in a media cycle where Marie Osmond steps on stage and basically makes women feel like it's a foregone conclusion, and it's not.
Okay.
So pelvic health is a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
There is a chapter on pelvic health in my book. Kegels, pelvic mm-hmm. health, or sorry, pelvic floor physiotherapists are huge help. We have one here.
Yeah, we actually, we did a recording the other day with a woman who was experiencing some issues with what's called PBD. And,
yep.
and,
yes.
And she was saying how her pelvic floor physiotherapist like changed her life.
Yes.
And then we met someone last night who
yes.
was at the show here.
Yes.
After we went for drinks at a bar and she was like, I also have PBD and also
yes.
physiotherapist like completely changed
Every
her life.
Every woman needs a vagina coach.
Yeah.
Mm. Right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Everybody.
I wish I had a penis coach. Are you kidding me? Fuck.
It would be nice as a man to have a vagina coach
yeah,
too,
yeah.
to be honest. It doesn't hurt.
All right. Sweet.
I mean, we could three-way this thing if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
right. We could coach each other, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going somewhere, and then I totally got lost in the thought of you penis coaching me and at the room.
Harder.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Push. Oh fuck! Where was I going? I was going somewhere with that.
Let's try to trace.
You're
it
talking
back.
About pelvic floor therapy.
Oh right,
therapy.
Urinary thing. Oh right, yeah. Well, no, I had a really stupid thing I was going to say, but.
Was this all a setup?
No, it actually wasn't. But you said that it makes it easier for women to pee themselves, like from laughing or sneezing, or there was another
it's just
thing.
Just a weaker pelvic floor.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you said laughing, I just thought to myself, like, I have this this tally of
trampolines
like,
or
yeah, right, of course. God, that sucks because those trampoline like get air, like those trampoline gyms for kids. Those are the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Insurance is cheap though.
But I was going to say was I have this tally of like people that I've made like do spit takes or where they spit out of their mouth from laughing. And then people who I've made pee from laughing. And there's only been one. Oh. But now I know that if I want to jack that number up, maybe change the demographic of the ladies that I'm trying to make laugh.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah.
So... What's up? Have you experienced any of that? Any of the incontinence or anything like that?
After I had my kids, but I really follow religiously the advice of my vagina coach.
Right.
So that I don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, do you actually have...
I actually have a vagina coach. Her name's Kim Vopney. She wrote the last chapter in my book.
What's her like actual job title?
She's a pelvic health evangelist or expert. She's okay. a trainer, a physical trainer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like actually, like okay. I thought so. She's not a physiotherapist. She's like a
no. She's not a physiotherapist.
Like a
she refers
teacher?
Women to. Pelvic health physiotherapist,
right.
But yeah, she teaches women how to engage their pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm. Super important. We were also talking about that too.
And like it's very important for men too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. And very beneficial.
Sure.
Yeah, big time. In many different regards.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like as a yoga instructor, and you know, I've done a lot of work with, in theater and yoga, like a lot of work with yoga instructors and Pilates instructors. And one of the things that my good friend Emily, when she's trying to give the pitch to like, come to my Pilates class, her whole thing is like, come to my Pilates class and it will change your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that pelvic floor control, like really has a big effect on the way that you control your sexy bits.
You're sexy,
on both ends, men
and you'll know too as a yoga instructor about the connection with mind and body too, like just really connecting to those parts.
Yeah. I had this revelation the other day during that same recording when we were talking about pelvic health and PVD, and it was so I run yoga teacher trainings, and part of that is giving lectures on basically like. You know, the history of yoga, and in particular, what yoga is in about the last 100 years, which is kind of like it is what it is in the last 100 years. And part of that is trying to theorize on why it went from being something in India that was only men, and then how it became this like very almost exclusively women for a period, and now you're kind of seeing men trickle back into
right.
it, but. How it came to be dominated by women, and I kind of had this revelation because yoga is so incredibly beneficial for your pelvic floor strength and getting in touch with that because it's a lot easier to get in touch with the muscles that you can see versus the ones that you can't, which are your pelvic floor. And yoga is really helpful for getting in touch with muscles, getting in tune with muscles that you can't see. And then I kind of had this revelation, like I wonder if that played into the reason why it became like a female dominated form of exercise and practice because of the benefit that it has on the pelvic floor and how that helped with pregnancy, sex, like all these, like this myriad of things that, I don't know, it's just like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, Shirley, what do you think about the migration of yoga from Eastern to Western cultures?
No.
Pray tell.
I'm just kidding. That was amazing, Tilly. I love you.
I agree. And the women that I see going to yoga class, too, I mean, it's about strong bones, too, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if we plan to live to be 100. We do not want to be the women in the retirement community with osteoporosis.
Yeah, so you want to be the ones with building. Juicy vaginas.
Yes, yeah. And strong muscles.
Jumping around.
Yeah.
Making those employees mop all the floors.
Oh, God. Cheryl, I want to ask you, what would you say out of your entire experience with perimenopause and now into menopause would be the biggest thing that that experience has taken away from you?
Taken away from
And maybe
me?
Maybe like aside from your ovaries.
Well, my ovaries are still intact.
Oh, sorry, wait, your eggs.
It'll take a while.
Here we go again.
It's okay. Yeah,
eventually.
I'm just get a diagram.
Sorry. You're
You got it.
I got it, yeah. You're...
The eggs. Yeah, your eggs.
Do you mean like what am I missing?
There's another word for eggs,
what
right?
What am I missing or what am I mourning or...
No, like, yeah, what is it? Like, what is that experience taken away from you as... You, like, Shirley, what are you, what did it take away from you?
I don't know.
It can be nothing, too.
It could be, yeah. Yeah.
I'm having, like, a menopause moment right now because I don't understand your question.
All right. Well, I mean, you usually when we ask this question, it's like, all right, what did cystic fibrosis take away from me?
Take away, okay.
It took away my... you know what? I don't even know. I've never even thought of that fucking question. What a stupid fucking question. Why do we ask this in the show?
Why have we been asking this?
We've been asking this almost every episode.
No. You've been asking it almost every episode.
I've never asked it once.
Yeah, me neither.
I've actually been sitting over here every single episode going...
Yeah.
And literally, you're just like blinders.
And the listeners are always just like, well, this just means it's almost over, again. So fuck, finally. but what you actually mean is like, if you were to answer it yourself, you might say something like trivial like, oh, it takes away life after 50 because, you know, I have a shortened life expectancy.
Yeah, here, right.
It or takes, something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are women in my community would say it took away their ability to work their full-time job or it took away their ability to have, you know, a lovely sex life. Or, like, there are lots of women who would definitely feel robbed. And I think that that's because, you know, we haven't done a good enough job giving them the information and the education that they need to lay out the options for them that they have because... Menopause is not cystic fibrosis. It's not an ailment or a disease. It's a life phase, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just it's about making sure that we have those conversations, that we make connections for women. We either connect them to the healthcare professionals that they need, or we connect them to other women who might have who might be on the same journey or might have already traveled that journey, so that they can lift each other up, right?
All right. Well, then, how about this? I usually ask a second question that goes with that one, and let's see if it works. This time, what would you say your experience with menopause has given you?
Yes, well, it's given me my life's work.
There you go. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I love being in the community. I love being able to direct women to information and each other and healthcare professionals. I think it's our responsibility to change this conversation. I think Gloria Steinem has a great quote that said, you know, it's not about learning, it's about unlearning. Mm. And I think what it's given me is a chance to say, you know what, that is not actually correct. Mm-hmm. Let's turn that myth around so that it doesn't, you know, carry on for the next couple of generations. Mm-hmm. So
do you feel like this is your lifelong duty now?
Yeah,
you feel like
I mean,
taken on a responsibility.
I didn't intend to grow up and be a menopause chick, but I'm here now. The train has left the station.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my vision is that one day every 35-year-old woman will know what to expect, and instead of waking up with surprises.
Shirley, I just want to thank you for like the work that you're doing because you are actually doing like a massive job towards spreading this message, like between the community of menopause chicks and the book that you wrote, like and even coming here and speaking with us, like you're doing a fucking amazing job. So keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And to add to that, Brian, you know this, and we say this every show. You probably heard it last night. These conversations, these attempts at spreading awareness around whatever it is that we're talking about, wouldn't mean anything if it fell upon dead ears. So the fact that you all showed up here tonight to listen is just as important as the work that is being put in to speak about it. And so thank all of you for showing up here tonight, and give yourselves a round of applause for that. Yeah. That's pretty fucking cool.
Absolutely.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Shirley.
And this is Sick Boy. It's sweet. That was for the recording. I don't know if you can tell. I always fuck that up, too.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.